You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Love That Lasts Forever. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In order to get the attention of its readers, in a full-page editorial, U.S. News and World Report magazine used the following eye-opening example. For months, the President of the United States and the press have been gripped by stories of bloody tragedy tearing apart Yugoslavia. Fair enough, the editorial says, this is big news. 500 people have died, and the Bosnian conflict is a terrible tragedy. But there is, the magazine reports, an even more sobering fact, and that is this. During the same year, and in as many months, in the county of Los Angeles, there were three times as many people killed through domestic violence as lost their lives in war-torn Bosnia. Please note, this is not three times as many in the entire United States, and not in one state, but in Los Angeles County alone. These are shocking and even frightening statistics. And while all of the United States and Canada may not be as violent as Los Angeles County, social experts now tell us that there is definitely increasing frustration in our population and a greater temptation to lash out both verbally and physically. This low-level anger is being detected increasingly, even in the hearts of many well-respected citizens. Scores of individuals who only 10 years ago surely believed they would never get upset and angry over the conditions in our society are now filled with skepticism, contempt, and even anger. And this is all occurring in some of the most unexpected areas of life. For example, driving back and forth to work used to be a time when people could sit back, even in heavy traffic, and concern themselves with their own thoughts. But that has now changed. People are increasingly taking out their frustrations on the highway, cutting off other drivers, blocking those who want to pass, or honking indiscriminately if things are not going fast enough. In large superstores, where it is often difficult to find a competent salesman, or even any salesman at all, customers now simply walk out muttering and cursing under their breath. And in another area, television ratings tell us that the viewers are so sick of watching all of the crime and negative news that they simply don't watch any news at all. What is the answer to all of this growing frustration? Back in 1969, the Beatles said they have the answer. They recorded the song, All You Need Is Love. The lyrics caught on, and the song was a smashing success. The Beatles' message, however, based upon fleeting romantic emotions and focusing upon self-serving and self-centered love, was soon drowned out and eventually disappeared. If there is going to be a lessening of frustration and a lowering of anger in our society, especially in families, it will need to begin with more than a fleeting romantic love expressed in music or displayed in television soaps and sitcoms. The only real answer is the genuine love that is described in the Holy Scriptures. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read, "Love is patient, love is kind, and love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. True love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. And true love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. True love, the Bible says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." In the depths of our heart and in the quietness of our mind, most of us have surely wished that we also could be more patient with the people where we work, with others at our school, and most important, with the members of our own family. Becoming more patient and loving, however, with a genuine love as described in the Bible, if we sincerely desire this, then we will need outside help. For this new love to break out in our hearts and for us to have such a major personality overhaul, you and I need a higher power. On our own, we can never achieve this. And instead of our usual attitude of arrogance, in humility, we need to confess with St. Paul the good we would like to do and the improvements you and I would often like to make in ourselves, we cannot and we do not do, and that which we should not, that we often do. The answer, my friend, is in the Word of God. In God's Word, we see the powerful example of the love of Christ. And through God's Word, and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, you and I can then be enabled to love with a power that far transcends the best efforts of our sinful human nature. And so then, my friend, let us first behold our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, always practiced what he preached. Jesus not only urged that we help children and the sick and the needy, but in the busiest moments of his demanding public schedule, Jesus always had time for the less fortunate. For example, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, we read that one day Jesus was in the home teaching many people. The room was so full that no additional people could get in. Several men outside had brought their sick friend to be healed, but they could not get anywhere near Jesus. So they climbed up outside of the house and let the sick man down through the roof. Instead of admonishing these men for this interruption, Jesus, with all the love that his person even today contains, he took time out and he healed the man. Jesus did not consider this interruption an inconvenience, but instead, Jesus saw this as another opportunity to love and to help. In another situation, recorded also in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, we read where Jesus was busy healing a woman who for 12 years had suffered from a terrible hemorrhage. Again, even as he was helping one person, Jesus was suddenly interrupted to help a second. Jesus could have easily said, "Don't you see? I am busy. Don't bother me." But instead, Jesus went immediately, and he raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. During his public ministry, patience for people and love for others always controlled the mind of Jesus, and true love always directed his actions. Plus, in spite of the manifold demands upon him, Jesus was never deterred from carrying out the greatest of all of his acts of love. Jesus' greatest act of love was when he died to pay for your sins and mine. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus died voluntarily, and Jesus went to the cross all out of true love for you as a sinner, so that you might live not only in this life, but also forever in eternity in heaven. And equally important for us to understand is that Jesus died so that you and I might live not aimlessly wondering who we are and where we are going, but so that we can live with a purpose. Jesus died, my friend, so that you and I might live finding meaning and fulfillment in life by loving and serving others. In our society, which daily emphasizes self-fulfillment, self-centeredness, and blatant selfishness, in this culture of self-destruction, the opportunities to serve others, as Jesus would have us do, are abundant. And because our society is fragmenting, these opportunities are daily increasing. There are still some cultures, of course, that respect and love their elderly, but for the most part, neither the United States nor Canada is one of them. The United States and Canada have indeed made great expenditures for modern rest homes and health care for the aging. Although the elderly would often do much better if they could only remain in their own homes or at least stay in the homes of one of their children, there are times when medical demands require full care. It is also precisely then in these situations that Jesus is asking you and me today to love and to serve, to visit and to help and to encourage. Not only do we need to love those in rest homes, but we need to assist those many who remain in their own homes. And did you know that a nationwide survey just recently documented that additional hardships are now being experienced by many grandparents who are now raising not only their own children, but also their grandchildren? These new burdens of love, undertaken by thousands of grandparents, have increased dramatically in the last decade. Over 3 million grandchildren are now being raised by their grandparents. So then, rather than being critical of all that is going on in society, and rather than being all talk and no action, let us each humble ourselves. Yes, let us listen to God as He speaks to us from His Word about real and genuine love. In the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as even to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love, the Bible says, is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. But love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love, the Bible says, never fails. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." And so then, my friend, as you today look out at the confused and broken society in which you and I live, the devil is surely going to tempt you to criticize and to complain. Yet in His grace, your Heavenly Father is urging you to use a better approach and to take the high road. To begin, you and I need to honestly confess that we are also oftentimes part of the problem. And instead of always pointing a finger of condemnation, we need to lift our fingers of service. And in order to get started, you and I certainly do not need a federal study to see who is in need. Begin with members of your own family. And even if you have never done this before, give them a call. Or better yet, give them a hand. Let them know that if there is anything at all that you could do, you want to help them. And then in all of this, let your heart and mind be filled with love and overflowing with forgiveness. In the Bible we read, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another," the Bible says, "tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you." O Lord, we pray, let your love in Jesus Christ completely change and totally transform the hearts of all who are listening today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.